Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our Old Testament reading from Psalm 111. The last verse of that text, verse 10, says this: "The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." This is our text. What is God's purpose for my life? What is God's purpose for my life? That is a question I am confident we all ask at some point, either quietly to ourselves, or sometimes out loud into a mirror, or before a trusted friend. And here at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church, it is the question that we intentionally take up to explore and remind each other of God's answer to that question at least once every year when we embark on our People with a Purpose journey. To be honest, the answer, though, is always the same. Because God's word of truth never changes. But he reveals his answer and teaches it to us using more illustrations through countless nuances in just about every part of Holy Scripture. So this year, we are going to tap into a part of God's word that is not used as often to learn about this purpose that God has given to us for our time here on earth. It is the book of Psalms. More specifically, the three Psalms that have historically been assigned to these three last Sundays in the season of Epiphany. So let's dive into God's answer to the question we all want to know. What is God's purpose for my life? Or more directly, what does God want me to believe, do, and pass on to others during my time here on earth? Is that a question you'd all like to know the answer to? Maybe I heard two or three voices there. So, is it really though? Yeah, of course. So what does God want me to, let's say it again, believe, do, and pass on to others during my time here on earth? Now think about that. You wouldn't even ask or care to know the answer to that question if you didn't first believe a couple of basic truths. Number one, that God exists. If you don't believe God exists, you don't care what God's purpose is, right? Number two, that God is the creator and giver of all things. So let's get this out of the way. Does everyone here believe those two truths? That God exists.
Yes.
And second, that God is the creator and giver of all things.
Yes.
All right. Then you have all received his greatest and primary gift, the gift of faith. And that means that it is now safe for me to assume that you all wholeheartedly embrace verse 1 of this psalm that we're learning from today, which says, "Praise Yahweh! I will give thanks to Yahweh with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation." Now, what do you mean? What does a person mean when you say to or about someone else, "I love you, I love him, I love her with my whole heart"? It means, technically, your entire being, with every ounce ounce of energy that you have, right? It means that person is at the top of your priority list, and all that you think, say, and do is going to be directed at expressing your love for that person. So, what does that mean for us, to whom the one triune God has given us the undeserved gift of faith? We already said that we do believe He exists and that He has created us and given us life. On top of that, we celebrate now in Epiphany that the Son of God, born at Christmas, has become the light of salvation from all sin, from death, and from the wiles of the devil in and through His death and resurrection in our place. Those are all gifts that neither you nor I nor any human being on earth has ever deserved to have. And yet, God has given them to all of us freely out of His undeserved love. That's a lot. There is no gift or gifts greater, are there? No. So because you know that, what then does God want you and me to do with those gifts of faith and salvation? With the forgiveness and new life that we've received in Jesus Christ? They belong to God, and yet He has given them to us for our salvation. But do you think that God wants us to just sit in our pews and our living rooms behind closed doors and say, "Wow, how blessed am I?" And that's it? Nothing else? Do you think that's what God wants? Of course not. In fact, from the beginning of creation, He told Adam and Eve that all of His people are to be caretakers, that is, stewards of the gifts that He's given to us in creation. And that's what we see the psalmist model for us here in Psalm 111, when he writes this song out for us to sing. He's very clear. This is not just for us to sing or express to ourselves in private. "Praise Yahweh! I will give thanks to Yahweh with my whole heart." In other words, with every ounce of my being and in every way possible. And now here is the main point at this point. In the company of the upright, in the congregation. This means, folks, that our praise and our expressions of gratitude toward God are absolutely to be celebrated here among our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ Church. But it is also to be done publicly at all times, in every single part of our lives in this world. If not, then the psalmist would not have said that he gives thanks, quote, with his whole heart. If I'm only doing it here in church for 1 hour in an entire week's time, but not elsewhere, I'm not doing it with my whole heart, am I? But why should you and I do this? Especially when we know that those around us may not appreciate it. That they might even call us out or persecute and torment us for displaying our faith in public. Because as verse 2 and the rest of the psalm lists out in great detail, great are the works of Yahweh. That's why. For anyone who is willing to open their eyes and their hearts to the obvious evidence all around them, the facts cannot be disputed. As Paul says in today's epistle reading in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, There is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. And one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. So everything, in capital letters, everything from our food to our clothing, to our homes, to our toys, to our health and our families and our relationships and everything else that we have, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and more, everything is from God and for God. As verse 4 points us to see in the various feasts and festivals, the holidays and the ceremonies that have been passed down to celebrate, God, quote, has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. Yahweh is gracious and merciful. He gives us these celebrations to remember his works. Think of Christmas and Easter, of course. Or Thanksgiving and even supposedly secular celebrations like the 4th of July, as well as birthdays and anniversaries. When we celebrate these days and events, think honestly, are we thanking Yahweh with our whole heart at those times? Publicly? Boldly? Or are we celebrating instead ourselves? Or maybe our barbecues. Or who knows what else. God's purpose for us and our lives, though, are very clear. We are to be caretakers of all that he has done for us and given to us to use in his service first and above all else. In verse 4, we're told that God remembers his covenant forever. Now, when the Bible says that God remembers something, it means that he is actively working to keep that thing going among his people. In this case, it is his promise, his covenant to Abraham and all of his descendants in faith. In Psalm 105, verses 8 through 10, we hear this explanation. Yahweh remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. Now, God lists out generation after generation there on purpose to stress that he will always, always remember his pledge to his people. He is the one who chooses Israel as his people, who delivers them from slavery and death, and who reveals to them how they are to now respond to his saving work, both in faith toward him and in trusting obedience to his law. That is the precepts that we find in verse 7 of our text today. It says there, his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. Not just to learn, memorize, and say, woo, those are pretty cool, but to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. That's our purpose, again, in this life, folks. Not to complain or whine about God's commandments or spend our time trying to figure out how we can somehow wiggle around them or twist them to our selfish advantage. No. But instead to celebrate his commands for the gifts that they really are, and to understand and to joyfully share them with others, so that even more generations in the future can find God's guidance and God's direction for life in his precepts as well. And so, as God's purpose for us is that we be good stewards of his covenant forever, verse 6 then points us to that forever as the next gift for us to acknowledge and celebrate, and yes, carefully and faithfully pass on to others. Verse 6 says, Yahweh has shown his people the power of his works, and here it is, in giving them the inheritance of the nations. Now, when most people think of an inheritance, they think of money or possessions that they have or will receive from a parent or a loved one when that person dies. So what is the inheritance that verse 6 says God had already given to his people at the time of Psalm 111? It was the gift of their own land, the promised land in Canaan. This was God's holy place here on earth, the place where he established his temple so that his people could now express their praise and offer their sacrifices, all of which God used to teach the people and point them forward to God's ultimate inheritance for his people of every time and place and era in history. Colossians 1, verses 11 to 13 tells us of this inheritance, of our inheritance from God still today. Paul says, May you be strengthened with all power, according to God's glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, here it is, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's our inheritance. The kingdom of his beloved Son. You see, it's Jesus, God's Son, through his death and resurrection in our place, that qualifies us in the waters of our baptism to be adopted now into God's family of faith and to thereby share in the eternal inheritance of the kingdom of God in heaven. 1 Peter 1, verses 4 and 5 tells us that this indescribable gift from God is, quote, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Wow. Folks, raise your hands if you are excited to receive that inheritance. I'm checking. All right. We have a unanimous vote. And guess what? It's already yours. By grace, through faith in Jesus. And the great thing about this inheritance is that God wants all people everywhere to have it. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus suffered and died. That's why Jesus rose again from the dead. To gain that inheritance of heaven for the souls of all who believe with their whole heart in him as their Lord. This then is where the last verse, verse 10, wraps everything up into a neat little bow for us today. Those who give thanks to Yahweh with their whole heart, as we saw in verse 1, and those who celebrate and seek to live within God's covenant and according to his precepts, as we heard about in verses 5 and 7, and those whom Jesus has qualified for his eternal inheritance in heaven, as verse 6 alludes to, they are the ones that verse 10 says, have the fear of Yahweh. Verse 10 presents us with actually a simple equation. It says, the fear of Yahweh is, in other words, equals, the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have, in other words, equals, a good understanding. You see, the beginning of wisdom is not found in keen insight or wide experience or the learning of the schools. Doesn't mean you still need to go to don't need to go to school, kids, okay? But the wisdom of God is not found there, but in the faith-filled expression of reverence and awe. Reverence and awe. That's the fear of Yahweh. It means to believe with your whole heart, first, that everything is from God, and second, that everything is for God. And then to share that faith and declare that truth and celebrate that truth in every aspect of life with everyone in your life for the rest of your life. That, dear Christians, is God's purpose for your life today and always, to be wise stewards of His gracious gifts, to be His people with a purpose. And so the psalm ends in the same way that it begins, saying of God, His praise endures forever. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.